Welcome to the podcast, Old Friends and New, put on by the Christ Church Ladies Fellowship here in Moscow, Idaho, for the Bible Reading Challenge. My name is Catherine Church, and I'm filling in for Christine Lamaro. One thing that recently hit me on the challenge when I was chatting with a friend was how much being immersed in the Bible every single day suddenly makes you think of biblical situations when you encounter a regular situation in your normal life. So what might come to mind is an applicable story, Bible story that relates to the modern day or whatever situation you might find yourself in. And the more we're immersed in the Bible, the more that happens, which is wonderful because that's exactly what we want it to be. We want ourselves to be constantly going back to the Bible and asking, how does this relate right now? How do we apply this right now? And just being constantly immersed in it, you are naturally going to have that happen. And it's very, very encouraging to see. Today on the podcast, we have Audrey Dion, Jemima Merkel, and Jen Bunch. Audrey and her family moved back not that long ago. She attended college here and actually some of her elementary years too. They have three kiddos and she writes from home. Jemima Merkel is attending New St. Andrews here in Moscow. She went through Logos and she's helped us create the promotional videos for the Bible Reading Challenge. And Jen Bunch and her husband Jeremy have five kids and she's been part of the Bible Reading Challenge from the get-go and recently became country neighbors of ours, which we are absolutely loving. And I'll let these ladies chat with you about the Bible Reading Challenge.
Hi, thanks for joining us, ladies. We are going to be talking about Deuteronomy and Mark today, and we're so excited to have you reading with us. We're just going to introduce ourselves real quick and tell you how we get our reading done, and then we're going to jump into the discussion.
Hello, I am Gemma, and mostly I'm currently a student at New St. Andrews, so I kind of try to get my reading out in kind of like little snippets throughout the day. So I don't have like a set time, but it's kind of in between classes or, you know, at Bootser's waiting in line to order.
Yes. That's good. Yeah. For me, it's a jumble. It's just whatever works. If I'm going to mop or fold laundry or have something like that to do, then I just stick it in my back pocket on my phone. And it also keeps me moving through the Bible. I think it's okay that I don't get everything, you know, as kids interrupt or like the dishwasher starts running really loud, but but I just keep going and it's been a huge blessing for me. And then occasionally I got a new stash of highlighters, so occasionally I get to sit down and break those out and do the multicolored thing, but that's more of a rare treat. So.
And I'm Jen with my youngest Geneva here. And I start my Bible reading in the mornings when I'm getting ready. I listen to it and don't usually get through all of it that way. So I will listen to the rest of it, either folding laundry or chopping vegetables or whatever other thing is going on in the day. And yeah, that's how I get it done. And then the kids always end up hearing some of it too, because they'll be around. And
yeah, that's always good too.
Yeah.
All right, well, we covered Deuteronomy and also Mark, and then the last day I think there was Psalm as well in there. So the big takeaway I think we were talking about right before we started the video is the blessings and curses. I mean, those will really stick with you. They stick out, you know, in the narrative, because I mean, first of all, the blessings are just they're just so incredibly amazing, and then the curses are equally, like, they'll make your hair curl kind of thing. Like, it's meant to be don't do this. And I think what stood out most to me was, especially for takeaway, is God is glorified either way. You know, God made a great nation and pitted them against Egypt and took them out of Egypt and gave them this great land. And he was glorified through that. But the curses part says, I'll send you back to Egypt. You'll be slaves again. I'll take everything away. And God is still glorified by that. And also gratitude was a big one. I should have highlighted this, but there was a specific verse where it said, because you weren't grateful for everything I did for you, then you were led astray and worshiped other gods. So I know you guys had other thoughts about the blessings and curses, so I want to if you have anything to add.
Yeah. Well, just with the curses, what a lot of times it's not like just a whole bunch of horrible events. Sometimes it is, but it's also just being given over into your sin. It's just like, fine, go do what you want. And it's not going to go well for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you said there was a specific part that really stuck out to me. You'll be going back to Egypt, like, begging, basically.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they did that.
They wanted to do that.
Yeah. They wanted to, and he finally said, okay, here you go. Yeah. I'm going to deliver you back. And then, and the other thing is, since we're reading Mark at the same time, you're seeing that the Jewish people are literally...
Fulfilling.
God. Yeah. They're rejecting God. Mm-hmm. And and then you see in Deuteronomy, it's basically a prophecy of what's about to happen to them. Mm-hmm. So that's really sobering.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. I mean, obviously it's this huge history and the meaning is it spans like centuries and millennia. But personally, what I'm thinking is God's going to be glorified either way.
Right.
In my life, God's going to be glorified. If he wants to bless me because I'm honoring him, he'll be glorified. If I reject him and turn away and I'm not honoring him, then he will be glorified
by the
consequences of that.
Yeah.
So, like you said, it's sobering.
Mm-hmm.
God letting you make things right, have what you want.
Okay, then. Yeah. It's not a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Do they still come in?
I think we're still okay.
Okay, good.
Finally get turned off. Yeah, I think another thing that kind of connected to that struck me is, I don't know, I feel like Christians kind of tend to think of, like, you know, the God of the New Testament is, like, love, and the Old Testament is anger. And I thought, like, I was just kind of overwhelmed with the amount of, like, God's patience in Deuteronomy, where it's, like, the fact that he just, like, sits down and walks them through it, and he spends forever being like, no, you actually can't kill your children.
Right.
You know, like, he spends a lot of time, like, walking them through that, and I think that that really struck me that, you know, all the, like, long stuff where we're like, oh, my word, we really have to cover this, and, like, God has so many rules. I thought it was actually just a demonstration of his patience with us.
Well, and it's like step one of his plan of salvation.
Right.
He's taking people who have been surrounded by a completely pagan system of morality.
Yeah.
And saying, like you said, you can't marry your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
You can't marry your sister.
Covering the basics.
You can't, your daughter shouldn't be a cult prostitute. Like, these are all wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's so much mercy and grace.
Yeah,
it's not because he's a Scrooge and he doesn't want us to have fun.
Because these are bad.
It's because it's actually not fun. Things that you want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought Christine's post this week about the proof of rigidity and some of those things are really uncomfortable to read, where you're thinking, why is this happening for the women and not for the men? It's because women were the ones most likely to be falsely accused by their husbands of these things. And you think about when they go through, or even that passage where they had to drink the dust of the temple to prove that they hadn't committed adultery.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I mean, it would be unusual for her to be cursed because of that, like for her to be like rotten and like rebellious.
It's really a lifeline.
Right. That's like what
really guilty.
It's not.
It's more. You're more likely to be fine after that than not.
Right.
Proved
innocent.
Yes.
Exactly. And
it's a lot of protection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated that too.
Yeah.
And then of course in the New Testament, like you were saying, you tend to think, oh, the God of the New Testament is so friendly.
Yeah.
But then you're like, well, all of these curses are about to happen, like
that's the fulfillment of the
this is just the follow-up of everything that's gone before.
So that's sobering. But another parallel that struck out to me that I was talking to you guys about is in Deuteronomy 29 verse 5 he's talking about them wandering in the wilderness and how their clothes had not worn out, the sandals had not worn out, and they had not eaten bread or drunk wine or a similar drink. And who that reminded me of was John the Baptist, and how he lived in the wilderness and, you know, had was living this kind of lifestyle. And then Jesus came, and then Jesus is the parallel to the promised land. So you have the wandering in the wilderness, not drinking a strong drink, and then you enter the promised land, and then you have John the Baptist and then Jesus. So that was just, again, kind of a vague parallel, not super specific. But it stood out to me. Anything else, you guys? Let me check our time real quick. Make sure we're getting along decently.
We're good.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts? I probably just talked too fast.
Burned through all
our material. Oh, here's another encouragement. Let's just end on an encouraging note then. In chapter 30, I highlighted the passage that says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off." And that's something that happened in Mark 2. He kept saying, all these things will happen before like this generation passes away. And that's kind of like the same thing. It's echoed in Deuteronomy. So basically it's like these aren't just these really mysterious two heavenly things for you to understand. The reason God is telling us these things in Deuteronomy and in Mark is because they're urgent, like they're important,
applicable.
They're about to happen.
That's right.
Like this is relevant to you people right now. You can't ignore it. And I think if there's one thing we should take heart in as we're reading is that that's true for us too. Like these things are not too mysterious for us.
Right.
They're relevant for us. They matter in our lives, and so we should just keep engaging.
Even things like Deuteronomy that seem just so, well, kind of outlandish.
Yes.
It's like, how is this applicable to us?
Yes.
Yeah.
But when you just read through the Old Testament again and again and again, it's very shaping. And
it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you understand more and more each time.
Yeah,
you do.
That's something that's really striking.
And it's really God that's being revealed through all of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think you also understand a lot of kind of what we were saved from, in that like this is actually stuff that you have to cover if you don't have Christ with you all the time. And so like growing up in a Christian community, it can kind of feel like, of course, everyone knows that,
obviously.
But I think it's actually good to go back and be like, no, actually.
This is human nature.
Yes.
People don't know that.
This is what people are like.
This is human civilization.
In their perfect form. Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is what people in groups do.
We kind of get used to that common decency, but that's not really a thing. That's
no, it's
just
not.
Downstream of
Christianity.
Yeah.
It's all because of Jesus. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up.
Cool.
Thanks for reading with us. And
I hope
you all...
losing connection now.
Oh, no, we're good. All right. Blessings on your reading and keep it up. And we'll have a new group for you next week. Bye.
Alrighty. Bye.